Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend and you stayed safe. Mike and I will continue to share stories about what we had to do, or at least the fun we had over the weekend. Mike, I'll tell you, have you had a gin fizz, Mike? Have you ever had one of these?
Yeah, man. In fact, my mom, that was her beverage of choice in the summer, a slow gin fizz. But yes, sir, that's a tasty beverage.
Yeah, so I did a watermelon gin fizz, where you puree the watermelon innards and you know, you take the juice from it, add some lime, some Canada Dry. It was great, man. Very refreshing, but it was just trying to do some different things. And, you know, you were talking about, obviously enjoy some Hey Man L, and we appreciate all the pictures of guys sending us over the weekend of them enjoying Hey Man L. You can still find it, by the way, at your local package store, and it's out there. But, yeah, man, something different, and really enjoyed the gin fizz. But, you know, you said it, summertime drinks call for summertime fun.
Right on, man. And again, as we said, we had a good time. I just think so many people were looking for a release, you know, and there was even photos of like action here in Atlanta where you had people out there. I know the mayor looks at things differently than the governor, who we're going to speak with here in a bit. But you saw pictures of people, you know, getting it in, as we like to say. And as we said, you know, people are some are just so like looking forward to just letting their hair down and getting back to some sense of normalcy that, yes, by the letter of the law, no, some of the protocols are not being followed. I think we could all do a better job.
All right, guys, we've been telling you, we've been trying to get the governor on our show, and we are fortunate to welcome in Governor Brian Kemp to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station. And, Governor, first of all, thank you for the time today. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great to be on with you. Doing good.
Well, let's start first. I want to ask you about your decision to reopen as one of the first states, and obviously that's gotten us here where we're moving forward, and hopefully we're going to get sports back, which is going to be our focus, Governor. But what were your reservations? Because you were one of the first to say, hey, we're moving forward. How hard of a decision was that for you?
Well, look, all these decisions have been hard. It was hard making decisions to, you know, shelter in place with our elderly population. It was brutally hard for a small business guy like myself for over 30 years to, you know, have to tell businesses they needed to close. But we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it's what the public health officials were saying to do. But when we started, you know, we asked people to do those things for a reason. That was to give us time to build our hospital bed capacity, to slow the spread of the virus, to flatten the curve. You know, you heard all those talking points for so many, just day after day. It was just monotonous. But it worked. And when that was the case and we were seeing those numbers, you know, in conjunction with Dr. Toomey, her advice and guidance, we decided that it was time to reopen things. And that's what we did. And, you know, we ended up being one of the first states in the country to do that, and thankfully our numbers have held, and I'm really thankful to the people of Georgia that have adhered to the guidelines we've put out. I just had a great call with the Restaurant Association earlier today about what they're doing and, you know, trying to continue to build confidence, and quite honestly, you all know we're going to have to do that with sports too, and I think a lot of the information that you're seeing come out of the different camps, whether it's, you know, the Falcons, the SEC, NASCAR, and how they're starting to get back to doing things, I believe will give the public confidence, and hopefully we can get back to having some live sporting events where you guys will have something to talk about.
Right. It is Governor Brian Kemp with us here, guys, on the WaitFor.com hotline. And that's the thing, Governor, we were just talking about. You know, we say be safe, live your life, but obviously don't hurt other folks. I know that, you know, I was down in Savannah last week, and some restaurants were open, not everything, but folks are trying to get back to normal. It just seems like right now would be the hardest time to be in politics because nobody seems to be able to agree on anything.
Yeah, so it's been pretty charged politically, but I think, you know, for myself, in times like this, I've been in some, you know, tough situations politically before, and but I've been in some tough, you know, business situations as well, being a small business owner, wondering whether I was going to be able to pay the folks who were working with me, much less myself. And, you know, I think in those times, you just have to do what you think is right. And I've been getting a lot of great information and advice and data from a lot of people to help me make those decisions. I've never been one to, you know, pass the buck on making tough decisions. I just want to make sure when I make them, I got all the information and I can make the best educated decision that I can. Doesn't mean it's always going to be right, but that's what I've been doing and following my gut instinct on a lot of these things to make sure that, you know, we're just standing up and fighting for hardworking Georgians. I mean, that's really where I was, guys, when I started reopening. I mean, people had done what we asked, but also felt like there were a lot of people that were on the verge of losing everything they had and not being able to make a comeback. You know, from you guys watching sports, you know, the greatest sports stories are comeback stories, right? And I just felt like a lot of our people were getting in the position where they weren't going to be able to make a comeback. You know, they were going to lose stuff, you know, businesses or, you know, houses or their vehicles, you know, things that many people work years or even decades for. And I just felt like it was time to get back, and I felt like our people would respond to that. I mean, we're innovative people. We can't fight this dang virus from our living room. You know, it's going to be here for a while. We've got to figure out how to deal with it, get our economy back going. Because there's negative effects of not having a good economy on mental health issues and, you know, child abuse, spousal abuse, and other things that are going on that aren't being reported because our kids aren't in school or, you know, folks aren't out and about. So I think, you know, we're starting to see that bright spot now of people opening back up. And I think every day that goes by, certainly this holiday weekend, I think will give more people confidence to start getting back out. Just be smart about doing it. And like you said earlier, be respectful to those that are around you.
Governor Brian Kemp here on Dukes and Bell. Governor, I'm a big fan of high school sports. It's a huge part of our makeup in the state of Georgia, our culture. We're talking Friday Night Lights. Obviously, all the spring sports got canceled. How confident are you about restarting high school sports? We know sort of where we are with pros and the colleges. What about high school sports?
Well, I played football and baseball in high school, and, you know, Friday Night Lights, it doesn't get any better than that when you're, you know, just in that environment. It doesn't matter whether you're on the field and the band, cheerleader, or sitting in the stands watching a game as a parent or, you know, loved one. I mean, it's as good as it gets. It's as Georgian and American as you get. And I tell you, that was really one of the things that I think, looking back, for a lot of our high school seniors that didn't get to experience their senior year in spring sports, that's a pretty tough deal on those kids and on their parents too. And my heart goes out to them. You know, I know I'm very optimistic about getting back on the field this fall. I think we can figure out a way to do it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It may look a little different than it normally looks, but I'm really hoping that we can get there. I just was on a call earlier with the vice president and the governors from around the country, and one of the topics they were talking about was Dr. Fauci saying, if people continue to follow the guidance and do what we're asking them, and we continue to be smart about this and don't let our guard down, we don't necessarily have to have a second wave. If we have, you know, ample testing, contact tracing, and people continue to use these good practices, you know, we may not have a second wave. If we don't do that, seems to me we could start looking at ways to put some people in the stands and play in some live sporting events. But, you know, I'm still being cautiously optimistic. I don't want to give people false hope. But, you know, I think we have to shoot for those type things and figure out just how we deal with this. I think we can do it. And I know there's a lot of people that want to do that.
Governor Kemp's with us here, guys, and we appreciate his time as he's very busy, needless to say, these days. Yeah, that's the thing, Governor. I mean, how do you feel personally? Are we where we need to be with the testing? Because I know when we talk about getting back, we need maybe some signs to prove it to some folks who don't believe it.
Well, we're getting in a lot better shape in testing. It's only going to continue to get better. I mean, it took us, 8 weeks to test 2% of our population, and the last 2 weeks we've tested over 2%. So we've really ramped that up. Our numbers continue to look good. You know, we've, as I mentioned earlier, built hospital bed capacity that's going to be here for us a while until we can get a vaccine or a cure. They talked again on the call today about the realistic hope of having a vaccine or two, sometime in the near future. I don't know that would be in the fall, but maybe it could be. But Dr. Toomey and her team are ramping up contact tracing. But I think what we're seeing now, too, is people are just so much more educated. You think back 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I mean, people didn't even realize what the new norm, and now most everybody does. Some people may not believe it, but most everybody knows, you need to just try to stay 6 feet away from people. Not everybody's wearing a mask in public, but it's a smart thing to do if you're going to a public event. And, if we're going to have a high school football game this fall and you're going to be sitting next to somebody, you might have to wear a mask, or either you're going to have diminished crowds where people are 6 feet away. I don't know what it's going to look like, but there may be a new norm there, but we can figure it out and try to do it. But that's what we really got to have people do, is continue to drive these numbers down and get in a position where you just don't have many people that have the virus. And if that's the case, it can't spread to too many people as long as people are being smart.
It is Governor Brian Kemp here with Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, giving us some time talking about our state, how we move back and at least forward towards sports in these next few months. Governor, I know you just said that you were on a conference call with the vice president and some other governors around the country. Other governors have declared their states open to pro sports, Arizona being one of them, New York, Florida. Is Georgia open for pro sports right now?
Well, I'm certainly ready for pro sports. I mean, I've talked to really all the sports franchise folks here in the metro Atlanta area. They know that we are ready to work with them and work with their teams. And, how that looks, I don't really know. I know the Falcons have got limited operations that have opened back up. I continue to be hopeful for the Braves and Major League Baseball. I personally think there's a way we can make that happen. I mean, I would be, I don't want to say, yeah, we're open for sports, not knowing what their plan is, but I would say, yeah, we're open to talking to those folks about figuring out how we can get open, not how we stop it, but how we work with them to make it happen. I think it'd be great. We had a great working relationship over the last couple of weeks with NASCAR as we tried to figure out how to have the race here in Atlanta. It is going to be fanless, but look, it's at least good that there's a live sporting event on television, and hopefully we can keep Chase Elliott from getting screwed and we can get him a victory here pretty soon, guys. I mean, let's just be real.
Right, we got breaking news, Carl. The governor is not a Kyle Busch fan.
Yeah,
it's Governor Kemp with us. And by the way, before I forget, my wife said, thank
you. We might have an order to not let Kyle Busch in the state of Georgia for that race. I'm conferring with my attorneys on that one, though.
Nice. Just made NASCAR.com with that comment. Now, by the way, my wife said, make sure you thank the governor because it's been helping us keep our sanity. We live in the city, but we play golf every weekend. Thanks for keeping the golf courses open.
Oh, man. In the middle of a pandemic, and some of my buddies are texting me going, whatever you do, don't close the golf courses. I said, look, man, I'm worried about how many hospital beds we got. Go play golf.
Yeah, it's a great point. Governor, as we know, you're a big Bulldog fan. Is it college football playoff this year for the Dogs and Kirby Smart or bust?
Look, I think the Dogs got a great shot this year. It's just such an unusual year. I mean, gosh, it's just a unimaginable, who would have thought no spring practice, no G-Day game. Georgia's defense is going to be able to play with anybody in the country. And I think we got to get a few skilled folks to play good, get us a new quarterback to move the needle even further. And win the turnover battle, and I think the sky's the limit.
Oh, by the way, before we cut you loose, Crow and I talked about this on the air a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if I got to tell you, when you're on television, the sign language person is stealing the thunder, brother. He's hard to keep. He's hard
man,
not to watch.
He's the rock star. And there's actually two of them, and they're a team. There's one behind the camera and one with me. But those guys have done a great job. There's a for your listeners. There is a great article in the Atlanta paper today about those guys, and they do a real service. But they're great people too, and it's a lot of fun watching them. It's even better on Facebook when people are putting music to it.
He's talking about interpreter David right. Cohen. There is an article in the AJC today about it, and it's entitled "At Governor Kemp's COVID-19 Conferences, Sign Language Interpreter Often Finds Himself in the Spotlight." And so that's the guy we've been talking about. So big shout out to David today. Governor, we appreciate your time. Again, these decisions, and I'm wondering, because you're a big sports fan, do you feel more pressure to get crowds back and spectators back at events knowing how sports affects our community?
Well, look, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's not just that I'm a big sports fan. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a selfish position of me wanting to watch something on TV besides, you know, the pandemic news coverage, and some live sports would be great. But it's like in my conversations with some of the folks with the Braves, you know, it wasn't, I mean, not being able to start the season, it wasn't just bad for the organization and the players, but you think about all the folks that worked the games. You know, they're out of work up there. I mean, you think about those people you never even see during the game. I mean, I see them walking through the tunnels coming in to a game or two, and, you know, they're just great people, very nice, welcoming you, and, you know, the folks that are serving food and ushering folks to the seats. I mean, there's a whole operation of people that most fans never see. Well, those folks, they aren't there right now. You know, they're not working that game. They're not getting paid. I mean, that's tough for them. It's tough for their families. And, you know, that hits the local pocketbooks hard. It hits the state pocketbook, and it hits the whole national economy. So we got to get those things back going. It's a big part of our state and our nation, and we just got to do it. We got to do it smartly and keep people safe, but also make sure that you know, we're not losing what we got in this great country.
Governor, thank you so much. We look forward to having you back on Dukes and Bell soon as we continue to move forward. Really appreciate your time, as listeners of our wonderful radio station want to hear from the man in charge and know, hey, we've got a plan and we're trying to get there.
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all be safe.
Thank you, Governor.
Thanks, Governor. There you go, Carl. And again, we've talked about it. I mean, again, it's a tough spot for any governor in the country to be in right now. But Governor Kemp was a bit ahead of other states on it. And we've seen some good news, and hopefully the good news will continue. I know in the news cycle, not everybody's on the same page, but we're trying to do the best we can and keep people working and get things moving.
Coming up, speaking of those dogs, we'll take you around college football. And why was Harbaugh doing flips? We'll explain. It is Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Governor Brian Kemp for coming on. Again, as I started the show today, and I want to stress this again, we need information. We want information. And I'm not just talking about Mike and I. We're talking about you, our public, our listeners, our city, our state. And he is the guy. And that is the reason we needed to and wanted to talk to Governor Kemp. And hopefully we got some things answered. Again, you know, if you're just joining us, he did say he hopes to have high school sports back up and running. And again, a lot of these decisions that are going to be made, you know, they don't have to be made right now. But, you know, to say that he doesn't want to have all of this up and running is silly. And it doesn't matter where you stand politically. Again, this wasn't a political conversation. At least I hope you didn't take it that way. This was much more about where our state is and how do we get back to the sports in our state being played from the professional level all the way down. And as far as pro sports, he did say that he doesn't want to say yes, that the state of Georgia is open for sports, not knowing what the plan is. But I would say, and this is what Governor Kemp just said to us, I would say we're open to talking to teams to figure out how we can get open and how we can work with them to make it happen. Other states have already declared they are open for pro sports, Mike.
Right, and appreciate the feedback. Well, not all of the feedback there, but much of the feedback on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. As Carl said, we stay in our lane, but it's who better to talk to about where we're going with high school sports, with the level of testing, all the things that we spoke about with him, other than the man that's in charge. So in this case, it happens to be Brian Kemp and a Republican. So just guys, as Carl and I said, this is not – we want to get information out there, so that's why we do it, and I think we do a pretty good job with it. But appreciate the governor coming on. And now, Carl, as we said, it's all about now what the numbers are and the numbers that they get. And some people, like I said, we might get numbers that you and I feel are certainly trending in the right direction, and you think it's time for more businesses to open up and more things to be normal, and there's still people that aren't prepared to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, we at some point, we do need to get moving in this country.
If the information tells us as much, Mike, I'm with it. I mean, that's my deal. I'm not an expert on these things, you know.
Right. And we say it every day. We're reading the same stuff you guys are reading, you know.
The governor gets paid a lot of money to make these decisions, and there are people above him at the national level. And so, you know, whatever the data is telling them is what I want to know to make the best decision for my family and the people around me. And I think that's where everybody stands. And I don't think the governor is any different. You know, again, no matter who you are, the one thing we all have in common is we want to be safe. Okay? Doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. So that's the most important thing. With that said, we do appreciate his time today, and hopefully we got a few things out of him that are going to be helpful moving forward. With that said, it is Dukes and Bell. We've been talking a lot today about the match, which was huge over the weekend. Mike and I will get more into that. More about the Falcons as we find out today where Matt Ryan is coming up at 5 o'clock. But right now, let's talk dogs.
And Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is always brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com, guys. If you're looking for a man cave, you're looking for backup generators, so you've always got some juice, you can give them a buzz at 404-252-3900. Yes, they will follow all the protocols to get the job done the right way, safely for your family right now. So get all the details at BrightboxElectrical.com.
All right, Mike, we talk about the dogs all across the board in college football, and we will. And there is a debate that's going on about who is the SEC's best coach of the 21st century. Is it Nick Saban, or is it a guy named Urban Meyer who won a couple of championships at Florida? We'll talk about that. You could put Steve Spurrier in the mix, obviously Coach Mark Richt as well. But, Mike, let's talk about Georgia Tech first, because as much as we talked about Georgia and their recruiting, Tech gets another quarterback commit. And again, Coach Collins and his staff, they're doing it, man. I mean, every time you turn around, it seems like Georgia Tech is in the news from this standpoint of either signing or getting another player. Now, again, what does this mean if you don't win? Nothing. But if they're able to turn this in to consistent winning, Mike, and competing for ACC championships, that's when it's going to start to matter. But this kid is a three-star prospect out of L.A., as a matter of fact, Los Angeles. And we've said this. Atlanta is a place where kids come, and if you're an inner-city school guy or, you know, if you're in the burbs, Atlanta is a hotbed for most kids that come to this city around the country. And to get a kid from L.A., it speaks volumes about what Coach Collins and his team are doing. But the young man committed. He's the 11th commit for the 2021 signing class, and he's the 8th commit since April 28th. He's rated as the number 23 pro-style quarterback in that class, Mike. So, again, you can never have enough depth, and we've seen it at Georgia. You think you got one quarterback? Well, you better have a few.
Yeah, his name is Chaden Peary, a three-star from Sierra Canyon in L.A., as Carl mentioned. So getting guys from around the country, that's big. Carl just laid it out. And this is where you start to change. Again, it's not a knock on what the previous coach was, and they had success. But you want to have a level of success which is more consistent than once every 4 or 5 years. You want to be able to go to big bowl games. You want fannies in the seats. And you want a style of football that's fun. Now, Collins hasn't gotten all there yet, Carl, but these are the steps. These are the building blocks. So as much as people want to poo-poo recruiting, the only way that Tech is going to get to be, you know, a team that can really compete for the ACC again is by getting these kind of guys in.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, consistently getting these kinds of players in is going to help Coach Collins.
Because we're always making excuses. You know, we're always saying like, oh, well, yeah, you know, yes, not a five-star. But he fits, you know, you want to have it. And again, they've gotten 4 stars in. This happens to be a 3-star. But, you know, that's the only way this worm is going to turn.
Yeah, he's 6'3". You mentioned 215. Mike, I'm never big into – now, don't get me wrong. There is a talent level of elite, okay, elite talent, and those guys are far few in between. Like, those are the guys that come, you know they're leaving in 3 years as soon as they're eligible for the NFL, and they're going to have that kind of impact on your program. But I would tell you there are more three-star type of guys coming out of high school and four-stars than there are five. Okay, I mean legit five-star. Like a five-star is a guy that's going to come in and be a difference maker. And my point is, at 6'3", 215, he ain't built like a three-star. He's not throwing the ball like a three-star. His kid had over 3,400 yards in the air. This is something that's going to try to help Georgia Tech move their offense forward. And I don't ever get caught up in that whole, well, he's a two-star. Because I've seen guys come in, get bigger, stronger, faster, Mike, and have an impact on programs.
But they talked to his high school coach out in California at Sierra Canyon. Because, we were talking about this with Coach Collins the other day. And we've talked about it. You've heard other coaches on from other programs about how do you, you know, get it going in this virtual age, right, with the video conferencing. And apparently whatever Tech did worked. So you got that going for them. They've also got a signee from, from other big schools. And we talked about Georgia earlier. It's the Dog Report brought to you by Brightbox. Mentioned it earlier, but just for guys who missed it, a kid out of Carrollton named Chaz Chambliss, a four-star outside linebacker. He did a very low-key, by today's standards, Carl, a commit video that's out there on social media, but Georgia continues to load up.
Why is Harbaugh doing flips? Well, if you missed it, they landed their second linebacker in as many days. And to talk about recruiting, they got a kid out of St. Thomas High School in Fort Lauderdale, Mike, to head to Michigan. He's one of the top 300 players in the country, another linebacker that is. And so you see these pictures or these videos of Harbaugh at Michigan doing cartwheels, and everybody's like, what is this all about? It's all about go blue. Listen, I get back to this. Harbaugh's done a lot. He's talked a lot, should I say, but he's not won enough. Not won enough of these big games.
Right. And remember the talk, Shea Patterson, he's finally got the quarterback in there. Remember that? Remember when he got to the kid Ole Miss? So that's going to be the thing. Harbaugh's got to beat Ohio State, you know, even when we, you know, when we get back to playing football. But, yeah, Harbaugh, like, he loves – it is what it is. You know, he owns it. He's living the dream, living his act. So, yeah, now go out and beat your rivals and take Michigan to the promised land, which he has not delivered, even not even come close to delivering yet. Their biggest season, I think, was the year they lose to FSU in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, because Michigan now has six of the ESPN top 300 commits. So, you know, they're going crazy thinking this is going to be a monster class for them as well. We'll see.
I don't remember. Sorry to cut you off. I remember, like, Jabril Peppers and all the other guys. They've had some monster classes come in there, but what are they going to do when they get on the field?
That's the big question. Hey, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, and we'll get into a little bit more about the best coach in the 21st century in the SEC. Was it Urban Meyer? Was it Mark Richt? Is it Gus Malzahn? We'll talk about it tomorrow, just to give you a little taste. Coming up, though, we got Yeah Man, No Man with Bo Morgan. He stops by to fill us in, and Bo is finally caught up. Find out what I'm talking about next.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Coming up, Falcon Report at 5 o'clock. Where is Matt Ryan? We will tell you, and you might be surprised. But right now, we say good afternoon to Bo Morgan. He is our executive producer. It's Yeah Man, No Man. Mike and I say, hey, man. What is going on, Bo?
Not much. Man, I love these three-day weekends. I played golf Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Wow.
And I learned on Sunday that the concept of ready golf does not exist with most people.
Why is that?
Well, because they don't practice it, Carl. It's at all. You know, ready golf is a concept where you might have another guy ready over his ball, but while he's hitting his shot or getting ready to hit his shot, you can kind of figure out distance and maybe get your club ready. Nah, these guys in front of a Sunday, they would all be in their golf cart, except for one that decided he needed to walk the entire course, which was odd to me. And
I was trying to get healthy, get his cardio in.
I'm watching a guy get ready to hit. Someone is in their cart. He hits. No one moves. Then they get out. A guy gets the club, approaches the ball, presses the ball, pulls up, goes back to his bag to get another club. Then he throws grass in the air to see if the wind is blowing.
Oh, no. No, oh, yeah, come on. It's too
guys
much.
Guys like that, by the way, should be punched in the head. And that's why when you're at a good golf course where they got a good, you know, starter or marshal, and for those who don't play golf, I mean, again, We're not trying to play Augusta here, okay? Unless you're like a scratch golfer. Nobody wants to see that, Carl. Let's move along. You know, let's move it along, move it along.
Yeah, here's the other one that bugs me. Your ball is lost. Let it go.
Dude, I buy them in bulk. I swear to God. Hubby's the same way. I'm like, dude, it's gone. Forget it, okay? Just will you please? A round of golf, if done properly, again, you may be able to get it in under 4 hours. That's ideally. But again, some people make it feel like the baton death march of recreation.
I go to Walmart and buy the nitros. You can get a 12-pack for like $5. I mean, right. $10 for 24 balls. I mean, you can't beat that. Anyway, so I got a couple of things. First off, I want to start is a show that you guys were religious with, and I always made fun of you about it, but with the pandemic and the shutdown, I decided that I would go ahead and take the next week and a half of my life and watch Game of Thrones. I started that a week and a half ago.
Okay.
I have now finished Game of Thrones.
What do you think?
You finished it?
Finished it.
So what'd you think?
I think that nice guys finish last.
Pretty much. They move so much. And by the way, Bo, your phone keeps cutting out, so I apologize to the listeners in their cars at home. But yeah, the thing about Game of Thrones, we talked about when we tried to get Bo into it, was it moved at almost, Carl, a glacier-like pace, right? Glacial pace early on. And then it was almost the last two seasons, it was like it almost went too fast, you know, as they pushed so much stuff in. They even moved the series beyond even what Martin had even written, right? They were kind of making it up as they were going along.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think we talked about it when we had the finale, and it was such, you know, a must-see event. But I am curious to know what you thought overall, Bo, and who was your favorite character. But let me ask you this, or at least let me say this. The problem was that the build-up to the finale was so enormous. I don't know how you could have pulled it off and satisfied everybody. And Mike, remember we talked about like Sopranos and all these great shows that have an ending where you go, eh, or you loved it, or, you know, you thought they could have done more. The build-up to those last few episodes was just incredible, and you kept thinking it was going to play out differently, and then the way it ended, you were like, eh. But it's still one of my all-time favorite series.
Right.
Well, I actually enjoyed the series a lot. I thought it was really good. It was well done. It did speed up very fast at the end of season 7 and the beginning of season 8. It just kind of all happened. I just, probably a three-way tie between Tyrion, Jon Snow, and Arya, with Sir Bronn and the Hound close second. But I don't understand how you're the rightful heir to the chair.
The Iron Throne.
But yet you kill the queen, yet you somehow get sent to the Night's Watch.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that.
Very unsatisfying, and the character that was the most uncompelling gets to be the boss, right, Carl? Yeah, Nobody liked Bran. Nobody liked him. Boring. Uninteresting.
No one has a better story than Bran the Broken.
No, everyone had a better story than Bran the Broken on that show.
I know. My Bo, well, at least you know what? Pop culture-wise, if somebody asks you if you've watched Game of Thrones, you are up on it, my friend.
Right on.
So it made me this, and you guys might have already told us this, now that everyone has watched it, to you, who should have sat on the Iron Throne or whatever? Who should have sat on it to you
John
guys?
Jon Snow. He had the royal blood. It was all there, but he did the right thing because the queen was going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Carl, because, and again, for those who never watched Game of Thrones, I can hear the radio switching off all over Atlanta now. So Carl, we're moving along. But I just thought, you know, you build up the queen, and all of a sudden she loses her mind to like what, two episodes, and they got to get rid of her, right? It was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you knew it was coming, or at least you sensed it. You didn't know how it was going to happen when John did what he did. And Mike, to your point, here's the deal. It was a mega show. I mean, listen, this thing did monster numbers. There were so many people who were casually into it, who loved it. There were watch parties. So I don't think we're doing a misjustice by talking about it with Bo now, who's finally got on board and watched it. But this is what people have done with coronavirus. You have finally watched shows that you didn't watch or you weren't into before coronavirus. And now you can arguably say there are probably three or four shows you finished or completed that you never would have watched.
Yeah, and by the way, I had a Twitter conversation today, and I got a ton of feedback on it. So I think our listeners want to hear it. Now, the next one, there's another question tied to this. But this also happened to me. My gym reopened the other day.
Did you go?
I waited a few days. I went this morning for the first time since the shutdown to my gym.
And?
So my experience, you walk in, they all wear a mask, all the people working there, and they immediately take your temperature. After you scan in, they take your temperature. They have spray bottles. So you can take a bottle with you and then have a towel and you can spray down all your pieces of equipment.
Right.
It's in part of the guidelines. I wiped down all of my equipment. There were not a lot of people there. There maybe were 15 to 20 people in the gym total to a gym that, you know, normally you have, maybe at least 75 to 100 at one point in time. I don't really count people when I'm in the gym. But it felt safe. It felt like a normal gym experience with just, you know, at a dead period. But everyone was wiping their equipment down. I even saw a kid come in who didn't wipe equipment down. And a lady that was working out literally went to him and was like, you know, you got to wipe your equipment down when you're done.
Well, the thing is with this, and we'll talk more about it in Guy Talk coming up, Carl, as we'll get into that Central Park Karen episode. But, you know, I just think nowadays, I know there's a lot of people out there that have been wearing masks from the jump. I've talked about it in my building. I just think if we can get everybody on the same page, let's just stop with the arguments over the masks, okay? We can debate whether they do a job or they don't do the job if they're not the N95. Let's just all wear the masks so we can all get along with our lives. Right, Carl? Because the only way we got to make up for, now again, they say that they took the temperatures of the people we talked about earlier today out there at that Lake of the Ozarks party that went viral. But just, I get it. I got a lot of friends. I've got to convince them to wear masks. I don't wear the mask. I've got to wear the mask now. That's the only way we're going to move forward. Just wear the stinking mask, and we can all get on with our lives.
And I do expect, unfortunately, to be more disturbances, Mike, because people are going to argue about this. And the reason is simple, because you're not protecting me. And I said this earlier. You don't owe me. You owe yourself. And so if you're going to do that, you got to expect people to say, hey, at some point, you need a mask on,
right.
You know, and somebody's going to say, blank you, screw you, and there will be violence, unfortunately. But this is where we are, and I agree with you. This shouldn't even be a discussion. If you're out and about, you're going to be in mixed company, you're with more than 10 or 15 or 20 people, you should have a damn mask on, period.
Now, again, it's like I said, Carl and I were talking about our travels this weekend. But if you're with like-minded people who feel comfortable or feel that they've done their due diligence, again, I know the people who say, oh, you're asymptomatic, you won't know. I mean, there's a place to wear the mask, and maybe there's a place not to. And a place not to is generally in your backyard. Everywhere else, wear the stinking mask. I just went through it this weekend. I was with four other couples. Everyone was like, no one was wearing a mask. And again, I know people be going tisk tisk to me on the radio. I'm not going to go into a restaurant without wearing a mask. We've talked about the supermarket because again, we got to trust people to not sneeze on you, not cough on you. We know all that stuff, and I get it. I just hate the fact like everything else now, Carl, becomes a culture war.
Well, I agree with you. If it's people you know where they've been, you know what the situation is, and you trust them, then that's your decision. But most times going out to a restaurant, a store, or other places, Mike, in public settings, you're not going to know that. So protect yourself. That's all I'm saying.
Right, like
I'm with you,
said.
Man. I hate the fact that we're talking about fights breaking out and all this stuff with masks and people, you know, recording other people because they're not doing right, and then it turns into something that it shouldn't.
All right, well, real quick, are you guys ready to go back to your gyms? If they open tomorrow, would you go to your gym?
Yeah, I'm ready now. I was going to, like everything else, it's like the new Corvette, Carl. I was going to wait for get the bugs out of the system first before I buy one. So I'm going to wait. But, yeah, this week, I think tomorrow, I'm going to hit the LA Fitness is supposed to open up here in Midtown.
I was going to say, is your gym open, by the way?
Yeah. Hey, okay. Becky, is the gym open? I get a thumbs up. There you go.
All right.
I got the same gym.
Yeah, I've heard these different reports. To answer your question, would I go tomorrow? I don't know. I may go see what it's like.
Right.
I don't know how much of the actual workout I would actually do. But I'm knocking on wood. I'm fortunate. During this pandemic, I haven't had to go because I got one at home. So I've been really, really fortunate.
Always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Jahi, hit my music.
Good music.
Jahi is in for Craig today, who's out.
By the way, did you see, I'm sorry to cut you up, Carl. I know you posted over the weekend, there's a prestigious award or top 100 for a big radio host, and Carl and I made number 18 in the country. And we said on Twitter, we can't do it without you. I posted on Twitter today, Carl, that if we were a football team, Craig would be the mercurial wide receiver with off-field issues, but tremendous talent.
That's a great way to put it because, again, he's not here today. All right, Bo Morgan, executive producing the show. We'll come back. Falcon Report. Where's Matt Ryan and what is he doing? You might be surprised.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.